Good morning, Midland First. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at the First United Methodist Church of Midland. And I want to welcome you to worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. As we begin our time together, we have a few announcements that we want to highlight for you this morning. Of course, we do have our weekly e-blast that is being sent out every Friday. If you aren't yet receiving those in your email and would like to, invite you to contact the church office. We'd love to share with you all that's happening within the life of the church. But this morning, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor, and she has several announcements regarding some children's events and, of course, our upcoming Christmas Eve services. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have a few announcements. If you will take a look at the insert in your bulletin, I have some things to highlight about children's ministry. We have a pajama day coming up next Sunday, December 28th. We will be having a children's lesson as we usually do, but we invite kids to wear pajamas and bring their blanket or stuffed animal, and they're going to do some fun things in Sunday school. And then on January 4th, it will be an all-year birthday party. So instead of celebrating birthdays every month, they're going to have one birthday celebration at the start of the year on January 4th. And so I invite you to put those on your calendar. And then the next announcement that I have for you is regarding Christmas Eve services. We will have a 4 p.m. family Christmas Eve service on Wednesday, and we will be doing the ABCs of Christmas. And then we also have a 7 p.m. and a 9:30 p.m., and both the 7 p.m. and the 9:30 p.m. service will be live streamed. And so I invite you to mark your calendars with those times and invite friends and neighbors to come and join us for those. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. So certainly hope that you will find the service that best suits you as we come together in worship on that special night of worship and celebrating Christ's birth on Christmas Eve. Also want to bring to your attention in our bulletin that you will note that the office will be closed for the holidays December 25th and 26th, and also the week of December 29th. And so ask that you will please plan accordingly in your interactions with the office in the coming weeks. This allows us to give our staff this time to observe the holidays and spend time with their families and friends as well. Regular office times will resume on January 5th. As you might imagine, there is still lots going on in the church, so again, invite you to take a look at your e-blast when you get the chance and to keep up with all that's happening in the life of the church.
Today, we come face to face with the scandal of Advent. Mary, the unmarried mother, God incarnate, growing up in Mary's womb as a vulnerable baby. Joseph contemplating leaving Mary because of her pregnancy. God's love at work in ways that society and propriety could not understand. God calling Mary and Joseph to faithfulness despite the fear of disgrace. With Mary and Joseph, we chose to wait, watch, and listen for the way of love instead of responding in fear to the world's judgment.
Relight this candle of love as a sign of our faithfulness as we seek, find, and follow Emmanuel, God with us.
I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, Good Christians, Friends, Rejoice. You'll find this on page 224 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
Please be seated. If you were in worship on the second Sunday of Advent, you might remember that an invitation was shared for individuals to come forward and express their interest in being baptized. We had spoken that Sunday about John the Baptist, and we had spoken about how we prepare for the way of the Lord, yes, in Advent, yes, in our preparations for Christmas, but certainly in our anticipation that Christ is coming again. And so this morning, Travis is coming forward to be baptized. And we see this again in the Advent theme of heaven and earth coming together, yes? And we certainly happens in one's baptism as we believe that the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon individuals being baptized, being brought into the church, being folded into God's mighty plans. And so we are excited to share Travis's baptism this morning. I'm going to invite you to turn to page 33 in the hymnal or the congregations. Your response will be on the screen behind me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Pastor Bethany Field, once again, introduce the one being baptized this morning.
Absolutely. I present Travis Mark Thomas for baptism.
And so, Travis, on behalf of the whole congregation, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and do you repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace? And do you promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do. And lastly, according to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative and serve as Christ's light in the world? If so, please respond, I will. Thank you.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you
live according to the example of Christ? We will surround Travis with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we give you thanks for the ways that you have used water throughout time to tell us and show us who you are and who we are called to be as your children. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Travis who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. So Travis, I'm going to invite you to make your way forward here to the baptismal font. And if you'll face the congregation. Travis, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be found a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, having been born through water and the Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation. You need to share in Christ's royal priesthood.
We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ.
And indeed, it is joy in which we welcome Travis into the family of Christ and into the body of Christ. It was exciting for me to share a conversation with Travis after worship on the second Sunday of Advent, and you expressed to me that you had been sharing conversation with Pastor Bethany and then saw that moment in worship as a time to respond to how God was working in his life. And so we have a certificate of your baptism here this morning, Travis. Also have a book for you, Chase the Lion by Mark Batterson. I believe that as we incorporate ourselves into the family of God and as we bring ourselves and incorporate ourselves into what God is doing, we allow ourselves, we accept Christ's invitation for a God-sized work in our life. And I pray that this book might inspire you to dream big. As he says, if your dream doesn't scare you, it might be too small. And so can we welcome Travis into the family of God and into the church? That's you. God bless you, Steve, Travis.
It's unexpected. God sends different weather our way in Michigan, doesn't he? Glad to see you all. Welcome our visitors today. So glad everybody could join us. All right. What day of Advent is it? It's the fourth day of Advent. What do you think, Cal? Fourth day of Advent? Who do we put up? What did you guys get last time? I gave you a what? Ooh, and what did that symbolize? Who do we put up on our manger? We put shepherds up there. The angels appeared to the shepherds, right? What, Teddy?
Dinner.
Oh, you had dinner too? Oh, okay, so today we are going to, our candle was lit, and what was our candle today?
Love.
Do you know what my favorite verse is in the Bible? John 3:16. And you see, and I'm just a complete blank here. I haven't memorized since I was a kid, and here I go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. That word love, wow, that's a powerful word. Because we know that no matter what day, all throughout the year, if it's Advent or not, God has love for us, right?
Yay.
Yeah, that's right, Teddy. Good. Huh? Oh, what are we doing today, Silas? And do you remember what the story, how the story of the wise men goes?
They saw the star in the east, and they walk and see King Herod, and then they go find the baby Jesus, and then an angel comes to them in a dream to tell them not to go back to King Herod.
Wow, you know your stuff, Alec. So he was saying that a star comes in the north, right? What happened next? They go to King Harold, okay. And then what happens, Violet?
The angel appears.
The angel appears. Oh, and where does she tell him to go?
Not back to
Herod. Huh?
Not back to Herod.
not back to King, that they got to go forward and find baby what? Jesus? Oh, so this Sunday we are going to put up our three wise men. Didn't they bring some gifts too?
Yeah. Gold, frankincense, and
myrrh. You're right. Gold. Yep. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I have some helpers that are going to help me put these up. So we're going to go up just like we have every other Sunday. We're going to go up, and then we're going to go back behind our secret entrance, right? So let's all go up. Thank you, Owen. Come this way. You coming, Adeline? Good job, girls. Good job helping everybody. All right, let's do a quick prayer. Good job setting them up. Yep, you got to figure out where to set them up. I like where you did. Dear Jesus, let your love shine in all our hearts today. Show our love by being kind, helpful, and caring to others during this season and throughout the year. Help your love to shine through like a bright light, just like the North Star, so all can see how good and caring we are. We pray that you will bless our Sunday school class today. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school, guys. Thank you.
And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass them down to the other end and back again. If you don't know who you're sitting by, I invite you to take a look. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to get to know who's here. And so I invite you to do that this morning. And I invite you to reflect on what you are thankful for from this week.
The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon
the Spirit of the Lord.
God, indeed, you are the source of all our gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And we thank you so much for these here, these monetary gifts, but also every other gift that we have. And the gift of baptism today, and the gift of being together in worship. And we pray that you would build up the kingdom as you see fit. And we just thank you so much for who you are and pray that you receive all the glory that you deserve. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, in a village called Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Finally, we've arrived. Finally, the fourth candle on the Advent wreath surrounding the Christ candle is lit. And finally, with much of the world, we now turn our attention to Christmas and to Christ's birth. And I know some of you might be thinking, what do you mean finally? I could use another week or two. But for many, it's finally. Over the past 3 weeks as a church, we've been going through Will Willimon's Advent study, Heaven and Earth. And through this study, and more importantly, in the Advent season of waiting, we've considered the need to stay alert for Christ's return. We've considered John the Baptist crying out to people, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And just last Sunday, we took a look at what it might look like to bear witness to the light of Christ in us and through us. So finally today, with the fourth Sunday of Advent, in our scripture reading for today from Luke chapter 1, we arrive alongside the Virgin Mary, who is engaged, pledged, betrothed to a man named Joseph. And in verses 28 through 30, we listen in on Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. The angel God sent to Nazareth, a small and insignificant village when Jesus was walking this earth. Listen to what Willimon has to say about Nazareth. I've been to Nazareth. I've walked its dirty streets, stayed in one of its rundown hotels, been subjected to the cries of street vendors hawking their wares, and jostled by herds of tourists stumbling off buses that belched diesel fumes. What a place for God Almighty to show up. Even one of Jesus' own disciples, one of Jesus' 12 closest followers, asked the question of Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? The fact of the matter is, this is where God came down. This is where God sent his angel Gabriel to let Mary know that she had found favor with God, that she will bear a son who she will name Jesus, and that her son will be great. So perhaps the reminder here is fear not. The reminder is fear not if you come from the wrong side of the tracks. Fear not if you're living in relative obscurity. This does not, it has not, and will not keep God from showing up. Even when it comes to casting the greatest vision, the greatest news God ever revealed. God chose to come down in that insignificant village to announce his greatest news. In verses 33 through 56, we travel alongside Mary as she visits her relative Elizabeth. As we heard at the time of their visit, Elizabeth is also impossibly pregnant with her own son, who we come to know later as John the Baptist. And in his study, Willimon points out that both Elizabeth, the expectant mother of John, and Mary, the expectant mother of Jesus, that both have been on the margins. See, Mary being young, unmarried, expecting and engaged to a working class laborer or working class carpenter, Elizabeth being older and up until now barren, all of which in their times would have landed them on the outside looking in. And yet Willimon writes about them and perhaps about some of us. I hope that you hear this story of God coming first to those two otherwise unknown, lowly women on the margins, one who is young and the other who is old, as maybe your story. Let's face it, most of us are unknown to the world. To none of us has been given the power to run the world. And Luke's gospel says, rejoice. You're just the sort of person, young or old, to whom God might turn and enlist to play a part in God's great revolutionary reclamation, redemption project in the world. End quote. So perhaps this is your story as much as it is Mary's and Elizabeth's. That God would use you, that God would come down into your life, that God would come near. And indeed, the song of praise that Mary sings in verses 46 through 56 anticipates the work. Mary's song anticipates the shakeup, as Willimon puts it, that God will do in coming down to us. We hear from Mary how God will exalt the humble, fill the hungry, and send the rich who are callous away and empty-handed. Turning this world upside down, turning the tables not just on individuals, but as this Duke professor and retired bishop says, a cosmic shaking of heaven and earth. And Willimon reminds us that all this took place when God shows up, all while working through ordinary folks, people on the margins like Mary and Elizabeth, perhaps people like you and me. Reflecting on Willimon's Advent study and our journey really through the past 4 weeks, I've been thinking about a time or two in my life when I believe God came down. When there was no mistaking that God showed up, there's no mistaking that God offered a fresh start, something I could have never accomplished, something I could not have ventured on my own. And in thinking about this, it occurred to me that perhaps my story, my beginning, is not all that different from others. No different than Elizabeth or Mary, Joseph or Zechariah, and again, maybe even yours. The truth is, even though I've been given this tremendous blessing to serve as a pastor, to preach on Sundays, to preach from this pulpit, I am sometimes painfully unaware of how extraordinarily ordinary that I am. My crowning achievement, athletically at least, was my senior year in high school when I earned my very first varsity letter by riding the bench the entire season. Thank you. Thank you. Boys varsity soccer team, backup goalie. That was my crowning achievement athletically. Aside from alphabetical ordering, I was never near the top of my class, not in high school, not in college, not in seminary. Thank goodness that my last name begins with two letters that appear within the first six letters of the alphabet. Huh, some of you are thinking about that. Otherwise, never near the top of the class. All joking aside, and in looking back at my life so far, I likely would not have ended up as a pastor were it not for the fact that I grew tired of ministry. That's the facts. That I would not have ended up being a pastor, that I would not have ended up here if I had not grown tired of ministry. Before enrolling in seminary and after college, and even though I was aware of God calling me into ministry while in high school, I had burned out of ministry being a youth pastor for 4 years, being in youth ministry for 4 years. And so I ran as far and as fast as I could from God. I chose to enter a business venture with my dad and with another father and son duo to open up 5 franchised coffee shops. Just a few months into the venture, having purchased a private coffee shop in Howell, which was the first of 5 locations, I very much sensed that I was in over my head. We had signed the agreements with our partners. We had signed the agreements with the franchise, and we had purchased a coffee shop, and I knew that I was in over my head. So one day on my 90-minute daily commute from Macomb Township to the shop, I found myself praying. Praying as the Apostle Paul would describe it, as without ceasing. One of those days where I'm praying for God to step in and to show up. Praying all day long. Anyone have that sort of day? That sort of season in life? And so that afternoon, I found myself in the office still praying, still begging for God to show up. And as clear as you are hearing my voice this morning, I heard God say in an audible way something to the effect that every day I spent doing what I was doing was a day and step further away from what He was calling me to do. I heard that. And in that moment, I was faced with choosing what I could do left to my own devices, or taking a step, or even a leap of faith to where God was calling me. For me, there were no angels this time around. There were no further revelations, no promises that life would be easy, no promises that it would all work out. But this was more than enough to shake my world up for the fresh start I needed and the fresh start I couldn't do on my own. And so how about you? How about you this Advent or Christmas season? Where might God come down? Where in your life might God be looking to shake things up? Or to start something new? How might God step into your life? How might God step into the church and in our community? Where might God be offering you a fresh start, one you can't find on your own, no matter all your efforts up to now? Are we still expecting God to do such a work? Are we open to God stepping into our life in this way today? Or could it be that you're too off on the margins, too far from being what others might consider extraordinary? Or can it be that you're right where you need to be, and that you're precisely who you need to be? For heaven and earth to converge all over again. For the light of the world to break through in you, around you, and through you this Christmas season. May it be so, reminded all over again here in Advent, that nothing is impossible for God. Amen? Amen. Friends, if you are receiving emails from the church, you may have received my letter wherein I shared with the congregation that we are requesting from our bishop two appointed clergy for the appointment season. One to fill the position that Pastor Bethany is vacating as she pursues God's work, God's dream in her life for further education and to serve in education beyond the local church. And then another part-time position for a clergy person to serve as our member care pastor. And I want to take this fourth Sunday of Advent as an opportunity to invite you as a congregation for God to come among us in a tangible way. Certainly for God to bless Pastor Bethany on her path that is coming up. Also to bless our bishop and our district superintendent and our cabinet and who they might appoint here. And also who they might appoint as that part-time associate pastor of member care. We believe that they might bring God's presence into the church in a tangible way in leading us. And so as we gather for prayer here on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I encourage you in the weeks or months to come that you would pray for the church, pray for these individuals God is calling to serve here, pray for what God might be calling the church to do. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the season of Advent. This season that has us anticipate your return, as well as our celebration of Christmas. And Lord, for many of us, for many who know the story of Christ's birth, it's difficult to hear that news anew. Difficult to imagine our world without this account. Difficult to think of this as the impossible. And yet, this is how you chose to work. This is how you chose to come down among us. This indeed is what you had planned from the very beginning. And indeed, this continues to be how you work. Coming down in tangible ways. Bringing revelation. And coming among us in a way to shake things up and to make possible a new way forward. So God, where we are in our life, where our families are or friends are, where the church is, where the community or the world is, help us to be open all over again. Stir in us in similar ways that you have worked in Travis's life. To take that step forward of faith. To receive the sacred gift of baptism. To respond to your gift of grace. Lord, help all of us to be open. To see beyond our preconceived notions of what is or is not possible, of what should or should not be. Pour your Spirit upon us, O Lord. And together we pray for the church. We pray for your work that is already beginning among us. Continue to pray for Pastor Bethany and the path that she is on. May you bolster her, encourage her, strengthen her with your guidance. May you make straight her path, we pray. And God, together as your church, believing in what you are doing here, we pray for our bishop, and our district superintendent, and all the others involved in this important decision, including our church's leadership. We pray for your discernment. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your hand to work in a tangible way that might bring these two clergy among us to be your hands and feet, to dwell among us just as you have chosen to dwell among us too. Lord, all this we pray in the very name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. You'll find this on page 211 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. We are today singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 7.
Thank you.
I imagine that if most of us or many of us spent the time looking, we might be able to point to an area in our life where we say, not possible. Impossible. That God would give us a new start. It might be in a relationship, it might be in a new venture, whatever chapter we might step into. Elizabeth, impossible. Mary, impossible. And yet, God chose to come down. Friends, our waters of our baptism remind us that the impossible is always possible. Being born through the water and the Spirit. And so may we be open once again to how God might come down. Amen. Amen.